I want to begin today by telling you a preacher story. Preacher stories are not about preachers, well, not usually anyway, but instead, they are stories that preachers like to tell in their sermons to get their point across. Preacher stories are not known for their subtlety. I like to call them poor man's parables. And today, I bring you such a story. Here it is. There was this man who walked into a neighborhood on the first Monday of the month, and he stopped at the first house in the neighborhood. He knocked at the door, and he explained to the homeowner, "I've come into some money, and I want to share my good fortune. I'd like to give you $100 if it's okay." And he handed over a crisp $100 bill. "Okay, yes, it's okay," said this very flabbergasted homeowner. And then the mysterious man walked away, back the way he came. The next week, the same man appeared again, and the homeowner once again received a $100 bill. And each Monday that month, the man with the money, he knocked at the door, and the delighted and very overjoyed homeowner received a crisp, brand new Benjamin. Then, on the first Monday of the next month, the mysterious philanthropist walked down the sidewalk as he always did, but he passed the first house and went instead to the door of the second home, the next one on the street. "Hey," yelled the homeowner of the first house, "where's my money?" As I told you, it's not subtle. The story is clearly about how we view fairness, or at least what seems to be unfair to that man who's not getting his $100 anymore. I mean, we hear the story. We get it. We understand why the man yells, "Hey, where's my money?" But because it's not his money. It's a gift. It's free and unexpected and unearned. And now that money that was his is going to his neighbor. And he's not at all happy about it. Now, theologically, we would say that what the man experienced was grace, unearned and undeserved. And it's that same grace that is the subject of our reading for today from the Gospel according to Matthew. Our reading is a parable told by Jesus, and it begins with these words, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." So right off the bat, the purpose of the parable is revealed to us. It is to help us better gain a better understanding of the kingdom of heaven. And anytime the kingdom is described is welcome by me, because the kingdom is such a slippery notion. This parable tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, the kingdom is not like the landowner. The kingdom is like, well, this particular moment in time, the juncture of the landowner hiring day laborers. The landowner goes out and he contracts with these workers that he will pay them the normal daily wage, and he sends them off to work in the vineyard. Then later in the morning, around 9 o'clock, the landowner goes back out to the marketplace where the workers would gather seeking jobs, and he notices that there are more of them standing idle. He goes out to them and says, "I will hire you, and I will pay you whatever is right." And so the implication here is that they won't receive a full day's pay, but instead a prorated amount according to the number of hours that they work. That's reasonable. The workers agree, and they go into the vineyard. At noon, and then also at 3 o'clock, the landlord does the same thing, sending more workers into the vineyard. And then at 5 o'clock, nearly the end of the workday, he goes out and finds yet more workers. And he asks them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And their response is, "Because no one has hired us." And so he sends them into his vineyard. And then at the end of the workday, the owner instructs his manager to pay the workers for the work they've done, but he's to begin with those who were hired last. So the manager, he gathers that 5 o'clock crowd. Those are the ones who only worked an hour or two at the most, and he pays them. But how much does he pay them? For the hour, for two? No. He pays them a full day's wage. Then the manager calls the 3 o'clock group, who have seen what's just happened. So what do they figure? They're going to get more, aren't they? Because they've worked longer hours. But no. They get exactly the same. A full day's wage. And this pattern is repeated for those who are hired at noon and for those who are hired at 9 o'clock as well. And then we get to the first group, the ones who put in a full day's work, and they figured they're going to get paid a lot because they work the longest. But no, they get the same as everybody else, a full day's wage. And when they receive this stipend, oh, they complain. They complain to the owner, saying, "Those who came last worked only 1 hour, and yet you have made them equal to us, the ones who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." The landowner responds to one of these workers, and he says, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? So take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. And am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am so generous?" And then Jesus concludes this parable saying, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." In that preacher story that I started off with, the man in the first home is upset when he doesn't get his free money anymore. And in the parable, the early workers gripe when they are paid the same as everyone else, even though they do receive what was owed to them, what they had agreed on that morning. No one's shortchanged here. But to them, it just doesn't seem fair that the less deserving would be paid the same as them. Jesus uses this parable to describe one characteristic of the kingdom of heaven, and that is grace. The kingdom is about God's grace. Those who enjoy the benefits of the kingdom do so not because they have earned it, but because God gives it to them. In this parable, the landowner clearly represents God. And we see this in the words that the landowner speaks to the complaining workers. "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me?" God's grace is God's to distribute as God pleases. Against the norms of our world, the last will be first, and the first will be last. But even for us as people of faith, we still expect that people should get what they deserve and no more. Well, unless it's us getting more, but not them. The first should be first, shouldn't they? I mean, that's what first means. But the ways of the kingdom are different. The ways of God are based on an economy of grace where the last can be first. Now, after reading this parable, if this is how you understand it, how you interpret it, that is wonderful, because that is what it says. In the kingdom of heaven, we can expect to be challenged by grace. However, this morning, I would like to invite you to consider this parable, well, from another angle. And what I would like to do, in order to do this, I would like to suggest that we narrow down the intended audience for the parable. Yes, it can be a parable for all people, and it is, but I believe that in this instance, Jesus is speaking to a specific audience, and that is his disciples. Throughout this section of Matthew's gospel, Jesus has been teaching the 12 the meaning of discipleship, and I believe this is another lesson in this series of teachings. The disciples, as we know, have been with Jesus from the very beginning. And they set aside their lives and their jobs and their families to be with him. They have worked tirelessly. And of all those who follow this man, Jesus, they are undeniably, they were the first, weren't they? And just before we come to this parable in the gospel, Peter has reminded Jesus, "We have left everything and followed you." In this parable, however, Jesus appears to be telling the 12 that while, yes, they are first in the kingdom of heaven, the first may be last. The disciples, they feel differently about this. After all, aren't they the ones who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat, to quote the parable? How can others who come after them reap the same benefits of the kingdom, if not more? That's not fair, is it? Because they're the first. They're the special ones in this relationship. We've already seen within the ranks of the disciples this acting out itself. Two of the first of the disciples that were called were James and John, brothers. And at one point, these brothers, they get into a squabble with the other disciples because they believed that within the group, they should occupy the rank of honor. And they have already requested to Jesus that they sit at his side, on his left and his right, in his glory. So clearly, the parable has a basis in reality, because this was the discussion going on among the disciples themselves. And in this parable, what I find the most interesting is the complaint that's lodged by the workers. If you read carefully, you see that their concern is not that the others were paid the same amount as them. No, that wasn't the issue. It wasn't the amount of money, but that they might be considered equals. The workers in the parable say, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us." Yes, equal. And that is the complaint of people of faith who operate within the rules of this world. We say, if I am faithful, well, then I should be lifted up and I should be rewarded for all my work over and against those who have done less, who are, well, less faithful, aren't they? The truly faithful, they're the first. And for those who consider themselves to be first, whether it's in faith or any aspect of our world, if you're first, the last thing you want is equality. You want to remain first. So this parable that Jesus offers his disciples, well, it's relevant for all believers. Matthew wrote this gospel for his own congregation, which was made up primarily of people who were Jewish. These were Jewish converts to Christianity, and you can be sure that within that congregation, that they felt a connection to the person of Jesus through their shared ancestry, their Jewishness. And I imagine that among the church, there was some grumbling about the non-Jews, those interlopers who were coming in and usurping their faith. Jews had been Jews for thousands of years, and these Gentiles were laying claim to the Jewish promise of God's salvation. They're not the chosen people, we are. So that was the discussion that was probably going on within Matthew's congregation. The parable of the kingdom is a pointed reminder to the disciples and to Matthew's congregation and even to us today that God's promises are meant to be open to all. Because in the kingdom, all are first. And in the parable, the final words of the landowner are actually a question. And he asked the early workers, those who came in first, the ones who were grumbling the most. He says, "Are you envious because I am generous?" And that's an amazing question, isn't it? The landowner is asking if his extreme generosity is a cause for their envy. So think about your own experience. Can you recall a time when someone else's generosity made you just a little bit envious? A time when you thought, you know, I should be getting some of what they're giving away. The translation of that question, the one that we have in our English Bibles, well, to be honest, it's rather weak, because most Bibles, in the passage as I read it this morning, it uses this word envious to describe what is actually a Greek phrase, which is literally evil eye. Yes. So instead of, are you envious because I am generous, the question should be read, are you looking out at the world with an evil eye? Because I am good. Sometimes true generosity that's directed at others brings up something evil from deep within us. When we witness others receiving something that we feel they don't deserve, we respond with a dark contempt that rises up out of us like bile. And it is an evil that declares that, well, we're better than them. And we deserve more than they do. And they should not be the recipients of excessive generosity. And our instinct is to do whatever we can to deny that generosity from reaching others. And so we build fences and walls to separate them from the source of generosity and grace. We push them out. Jesus concludes this parable with the words that define the parable's message. He says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. To grasp the power of that statement, one that we know so well, we must accept who is last and who is claiming to be first. Because the first are those who feel that they are deserving because of, well, who they are and what they've done. Those who feel that they should get more and are usually resentful of others who they feel get too much. They are like James and John, who feel that they deserve to be first with Jesus. But as the parable tells us, in the kingdom of heaven, it is the last who will be first. The last, well, they're not those who are the least. No, the last are those who put others ahead of them. The last are those whose hearts are governed by generosity. The last are those who exemplify compassion in all that they do. The last are those who embody forgiveness. The last are those who applaud God's unending grace. The last are those who lift up the fallen. The last are those who love from deep within their hearts. The last are the first in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.